All right, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Breeze Pure Preps Podcast. This is Matt Lopez here with Tony Siniglio, and coming off a pretty exciting week of football, heading into yet another exciting week of football coming up this week with a couple of league games, but by and large, the final week of non-league play for most schools anyway. But before we get into next week, this Friday's games, which we will do, I think the talk of the South Bay last week and probably still for the first few days of this week was Narbonne versus Sarah. I'm hoping most of the listeners were following our tweets and, you know, saw the story in the paper. But from being down there on the sideline, up close, in the middle of all of the craziness, what kind of your takeaway points coming out of that one?
In the middle of the game, I was thinking, wow, we're looking at two really great defenses, just kind of slugging it out against each other. Narbonne forced four turnovers against the Sarah team. No one does that to Sarah. That was kind of mind-blowing. I mean, that wasn't the prettiest of football, but there was kind of an atmosphere there. I think both sides were really fired up for it. Like, Narbonne came out and they were getting crazy as they were coming out, really fired up. But you could tell this game meant something to them. It wasn't just another week on the schedule. And then when Sarah came out, they were fired up too, and they started running out, and Narbonne kind of started kind of running in stride with them. And like they were daring them to like have something at midfield, not a fight or anything, but just like, hey, we're ready to play. Kind of what UCLA, USC have done in some of the recent years. It was a cool atmosphere. Not as many people as Sarah Pauley was, but they eventually did have standing room only there at Mighty Cavalier Field.
That's pretty cool. And as far as the actual football game goes, once they kicked off, I mean, from looking at the final score, most people would probably assume that Narbonne's defense showed up and played well. And we talked about this last week, and you talked about how their defense, you know, maybe should get a little more credit, because obviously, you know, the offense has, you know, star players all over the place. But talk about what you saw from the Gauchos' defense in that victory.
It was more the same kind of things we've been seeing from that defense. 11 guys to the ball, 11 guys swarming to the ball, very fast, very athletic. I mean, Sarah did get a touchdown. They were the first team to actually score on Narbonne this year. A nice 24-yard pass from Green to Darrell Fury, the track star. But, I mean, that was it, I mean, for Sarah. I mean, and Sarah did have a chance. They were right in the game. They had a 4th-and-1 early in the third quarter, like in the red zone, and Narbonne came up with a big stop. Aaron Nafalo kind of had the first penetration, and they just stuffed him. And after that, it was Narbonne's game. Marquise Lomax had 2 interceptions, which is impressive. Ishan Beria had he recovered 2 fumbles, one with a strip from Quinton Polk, a really impressive strip. I mean, something you'd see on Saturdays, maybe Sundays. Just ball popped up. Beria caught it and, like, zoomed down the sideline for a touchdown. That was, at that point, you knew Narbonne was on their way to winning that game. And it was both defenses were very good. And Sarah has, it's tough to beat Sarah. I mean, they just don't lose very often. And score wasn't lopsided. Sarah probably hung around a little longer than most expected, but it was an entertaining game. Not the fireworks that you see at some of the other games. Not the most cleanly played game, but I felt satisfied. I saw 2 defenses. We probably won't see 2 defenses that good the rest of the way until deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's good. So it sounds like it lives up to the hype, which is, it's, well, it was probably impossible for it to live up to the hype, but it sounds like it came close at least.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good football game. It was competitive. At least it wasn't like a 56-0 game like they did on Pauley. Like, I wanted this one to be a little closer. I wanted it to be kind of up in the air in the second half, and it was. And Narbonne answered just fine. Their defense is as good as advertised, if not better. the offense is coming along, they're doing enough to win, and you know those guys are going to start picking it up offensively. So it was a good game. Narbonne has another big one this week against Modern Day, and we should probably see more of the same from the Gauchos.
Yeah, let's jump into that. Let's just jump into the this Friday's games, and of course, if you want to let your voice be heard on those games, all you have to do is go on to dailybreeze.com/preps. The Prep Football Pick'em is right there on the right side of your screen in a big brown box. You can't miss it unless you're colorblind. You can pick all the games, and not just the torrent schools and, you know, the hyper-local schools. You can, you know, we have every game on there. Santa Monica versus Hart, Westmark, Pacific Lutheran, which I'm sure is going to be a big game in the Pick'ems this week, and El Camino Harbor, too. We'll get to that one in a little bit. In the El Camino Harbor or in the Westmark Pac-Lew?
Westmark Pac-Lew. I have a theory, but I want to hear yours first.
Well, I know you spent a lot of time around the Westmark program, so you're well versed with them. But I'm going to go with Pac-Lew. They almost lost their football team last season. They bounced back from that. They have bigger numbers than ever this year. I'm sticking with the mighty Stingrays.
Westmark won a very tight game last year, and
how do you know that?
Because I am all knowing that. Come on now.
I can't believe you know that.
I think Westmark might even be better this year, but if anyone's going to do it, it's the gritty little Stingrays who saved their football program last year. And it's as good as eight-man football gets. So.
Yeah, and that's there on the Pick'em. So if you want to, I mean, you have to fill out the whole ballot. So even if you don't want to pick that one, you have to. So right there on the website, of course, the Preps blog, some of the latest stuff you'll find on there is all the CIF polls for the different sports, keeping you updated on that, insidesocal.com/SouthBayPreps. And, of course, the Twitter, we saying it. You guys are definitely picking up on it and getting lots of follows and stuff, but keep it up at Twitter handle Breeze Preps. We'll be once again giving you all the scoring updates there. Heading into this week, this Friday's games, and let's just jump right back with Narbonne, because the last non-league game for everybody, but for them too, Modern Day, it doesn't get any easier for them, and, you know, maybe Modern Day isn't quite what it was when they had Matt Barkley at quarterback, or, you know, but they're still a power, and
they're undefeated, Matt, and they're from that Trinity League. They're awfully tough. This is as tough of a matchup as Narbonne's had this year. There was a really tough matchup. Modern Day's probably got a more explosive offense, and I think it'll be another big test for Narbonne. And they've had so many big showdowns they've had to get up for. It'll be interesting to see how they respond this week. I know they'll be fired up, but it's somewhat. I mean, sometimes those showdowns take a lot out of you, and if they come out flat at all against Modern Day, they're going to be in trouble. But I'm expecting a really good game again, and I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be fairly close. So.
Considering how good Modern Day is, and, you know, locally, obviously, Sarah is a bigger opponent, but in some ways, is this really kind of the biggest game of the year for Narbonne?
I've been joking in the office, like, every week is, like, the biggest week for Narbonne football.
Yeah.
But they've been kind of taking it that way, too. They've had a very singular approach. Every week they focus on that opponent, their coach Manuel Douglas says he doesn't look at film of opponents in the weeks to come because he can't. His schedule is so tough, they have to focus on the opponent for that week, and they've done a good job of that. They haven't had any letdowns, which is normally what's caused them problems in the past, although the Marine League is where they have the real chance for a letdown. They'll get up for Modern Day. It's whether they get up for Pedro or Carson. You know the rivalries are there, but after playing a schedule like this, that's where the danger zone lies for them. That you sleep a little bit on either of those two programs, and they'll make you pay for it. But, I mean, right now, Narbonne just has to keep doing what they're doing. Stay focused, play aggressive defense, 11 to the ball, and good things are happening for them. And they just improved their bowl bid dramatically last week by beating Sarah. And they do it here. They're probably in one of those semifinal berths for the state bowl.
Right. Now, I have to guess, if there was, you know, this is obviously kind of the showdown of the week, but I have to guess if there was any other game that you would want to be at except for that one, I would guess it would be West Torrance at North Torrance. You might have to end up being there until about midnight, but this I'm imagining a lot of offensive fireworks in this football game.
I'm imagining a lot of passing. I think that I've seen West North in the last couple of years, and West generally has won that matchup and handily. I don't think it will be a one-sided affair this time. I think North has some good players. Their defense is improving. Air Jorge is throwing a ton of touchdowns. And Dorado and Devontae Jenkins are each big-time threats. When the Saxons have a little bit of talent, they make it go a long way. And West is awfully good this year, though. They're running on all cylinders. I mean, we rave about Joey Notch, but their defense is very underrated, and they have several guys who can make plays and catch the ball and big yards after the catch. And I'm impressed with West. It'll be interesting to see how they handle a much better North team. But I'm not expecting it to be the blowout that they've had over the other Pioneer League teams. I think it'll be a little closer. And West is definitely the favorite, but I mean, watch out for North. They can make some things happen. And Dorado so far has been one of my favorite players to watch this year.
Looking ahead to some other games on Friday night. Well, let's jump back a little bit to the afternoon games. We do have two games on the Hill in the afternoon. South Torrance at Peninsula at 3 p.m. Dominguez at PV at 3 p.m. PV coming off a huge win. You'll be at South Torrance at Peninsula. What are your thoughts heading into that one? Obviously, Peninsula would love to get a little bit more momentum going for them heading into league play. And, you know, South is you know, just kind of, you know, we kind of know what to expect from them. And
well, South is coming off two tough losses. Yeah. That'll be time for them to get back on track. Peninsula won this game on a field goal last year, kind of a, I think it was a 53-yard field goal, too. It was kind of a heartbreaking loss for them. Expect South to be fired up for this one. Peninsula's coming off a horrible loss to Lawndale. Credit to Lawndale. If you can be a Bay League team like Peninsula, you're doing something right. I like what Coach Rick Mathieson's doing there, but Peninsula's had some soul-searching this week, and they need a big performance to bounce back. That's not a good result. Maybe they can build some confidence heading into Bay League. So,
absolutely. Another interesting game on the docket: San Pedro at Westchester. San Pedro last week playing their first game without their starting quarterback, who is going to be out for some time with an injury, had a nice 29-0 victory over Fairfax. So they kind of, you know, bounced back nicely from that. Westchester, you know, a pretty gritty kind of football team for San Pedro fans as they continue, and, you know, for the team as they continue to kind of try to develop this team without, you know, their the guy who they thought was going to lead their team at quarterback coming into the season. Where do you kind of see them at right now?
I think we're at the same. This is kind of what we're expecting from Pedro. It's a tough loss to lose your senior leader at quarterback. Nick Johnson worked really hard, and he was doing a great job leading the team. The good thing for San Pedro is their run-based offense. They just need their quarterback to make sure everyone is in the right spot to direct the offense and not to make mistakes. And I think Jimmy Bryant did a good job last week. I think it was 6 of 12 for 89 yards. It's a solid performance. It's going to keep defenses honest so they don't key on the run. running back Darrell Santiago is having a monster year. We've seen this guy just eat up yardage the last 3 years. He might end up being San Pedro's all-time leading rusher. I was expecting more of a test from Fairfax. I thought on paper they looked pretty good. The real product didn't seem to be that great against Pedro. Maybe Pedro's that good. I thought this would have been a tough 2 week stretch for the Pirates against the Western League, against Fairfax and Westchester. I think Westchester will give them a better game, but I have to like the Pirates here. Especially, it is at Westchester. I remember Westchester beat San Pedro in 05, and Westchester has the athletes that can drive the Pirates batty. So don't count out the Comets. And Coach Sig Edwards seems to get a lot out of his players, both on the gridiron and on the baseball diamond. So.
Yeah. And we kind of skipped over it, or I kind of skipped over it, but we do want to reiterate again, Palos Verdes hosting Dominguez at 3 p.m. We don't, unfortunately, have the social media czar, Dave Thorpe, on the podcast this week with us, but he was at that game last week. Sound like a wild one. TV.
I think he's observing Yom Kippur today.
He is. Well, yesterday, because people were here this on Thursday. So, yes, he was at Temple, so that's why he's not here. The PV pulled out a 35-34 overtime win over Moore Park. Got their first win of the year, and it sounds like that was kind of a weight off their shoulders, right?
Yeah, like maybe like a 100-pound weight off the shoulders. Like that win should be cathartic for them. This will light a fire under PV, give them some confidence. This is a slam dunk game for them this week. Dominguez is not the same team it's been in recent years. They lost to Compton. I've seen Compton. They're a solid team, but TV shouldn't have any trouble with this week. And I think your namesake, Matt Lopes, just exploded last week. I just kind of carried him in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. To beat a Marmani League team, I don't care where they are in the standings. That's an impressive win, and good things are on the way for the Sea Kings. I'm a little more optimistic on them than I was after the first couple weeks. So.
Definitely. Looking over the rest of the schedule, and if you want the full breakdown, you can check out the prep football grid in Friday's paper. We don't have time to hit on every game in the podcast, but that'll get you all the info you need. Inglewood Torrance at 7 p.m. at Torrance. The Mayor's Cup, baby. Losing her at Hawthorne, 7 p.m. Who's taking home the Mayor's Cup this year?
Oh, Losing her's going to come back strong this year. I think they're upset they lost it last year for the first time in 10 years. And Hawthorne's definitely not the same team this year. They're way down. They're missing Coach Kanak a little bit. And I love James Swain, but he's working with a different talent pool this year, a much shallower pool. I like Luzinger here. Luzinger's going to be able to avoid a win this season this week. So
Isaiah Brame ain't walking through that door.
where is he now? He was big time. I liked him. He was fun to watch.
Yeah, he was good. Hopefully, I'm sure he ended up on his, you know, playing football somewhere. So, you know, good. Hope he's doing big things out there. Other games of the week, we got Newport Harbor at Maricosta at 7 p.m. For the Mustangs, coming off tough loss to Loyola, a very good Loyola team, though, 35-14 last week. Mustangs are a little bit nicked up, to say the least, but looking to kind of get a big win heading into league play.
You do not want to be a quarterback there. They're falling like flies over there. Their first two guys are really banged up. I thought they had a chance to do something against Loyola last week, and Loyola came out and kind of set the tone against them. Costa could use a good bounce back week here heading into league because they open with West Torrance. They need to build some momentum for that game.
Yeah. Laguna Hills at Escanaba 7 p.m. Chadwick at Rosemond at 7 p.m. Culver City at Bishop Amat 7 p.m. Animo versus St. Monica at Santa Monica College 7:30 p.m. Fulton at Rolling Hills 3 p.m. I do want to touch a little bit on Rancho Dominguez at Gardena 7 p.m. Should have a story coming out in, well, I guess today, for most people hearing this will be Thursday, so today's paper on their new coach.
It'll be in Friday's edition.
Friday's paper. You know, with Yom Kippur, the days get all mixed up. Friday's paper on Coach Deion Tolliver and his son, and, you know, I don't want to –
I'm not it's a kind of the family atmosphere that they're providing at Gardena.
Yeah.
It seems like there's optimism right now, and they haven't had that in a while, so it's good to see. They're kind of a sleeper in the Marine League, and I think they can sneak up on a lot of people.
Yeah, they have. I saw them in a couple weeks ago, and you know they're not the deepest team, and they're not going to contend with Narbonne this year, but they've got some talent. I mean, Tyree Simmons is, he's among the, you know, I would say among the better running backs in the South Bay right now. He's a hard runner, physical runner. And I mean, they have some good talent there. And dare we say after this Friday, they should be 5-0 heading into league play,
they,
right?
They better be 5-0 after this Friday.
Well, I guess we know who you're picking in the pick 'em then.
Yeah. If I was eligible, Matt, I'd be running close to perfect.
Heading into Saturday, we do have one non-league game, which we already touched on, Westmark, Pacific Lutheran, Daniels Field, 2 p.m. I know Tony will be there. I probably will be too.
I'll be there in spirit.
He'll be there, yeah. The big game, though, Saturday night is El Camino at Harbor, the Crosstown Showdown, which is back on now because they played the last 2 years. Now they're in the same division. So they're going to be playing every year, much to the chagrin of, you know, well, I don't know, who doesn't, you know, there's certain people on both sides that like the game and certain people that don't. But they're playing every year. It's a fun rivalry. And we, you know, we talked about the last couple of weeks how Coach Featherstone would get that program back on track, a couple of tough losses. It looks like he has. And for Harbor, you know, they've just had that brutal schedule. Is this the year that Harbor might be able to get over the hump against El Camino? Or
it's now or never, especially with the uncertain future of junior college football. Who knows if there's going to be next year, but I mean, if Harbor's going to do it, it's got to be this year. El Camino is coming off two straight wins, and you knew they would bounce back under Feather, like you said. But the other thing is that Harbor has played a tough schedule. Yes, they're coming off two losses, and last week's loss to Riverside was not one of the better performances they've had, but Riverside's a pretty darn good team. And I know Coach Peabody and will have his guys ready for this one. Expect emergency from the Seahawks. This is going to be a big matchup for them, especially since it's a crosstown rivalry, division game. Yeah, I'm expecting a good one on that one.
All right, well, that should do it for this week's episode of the Daily Breeze Pure Preps Podcast. Once again, you can check us out on Twitter at the Twitter handle Breeze Preps. Make your picks at www.dailybreeze.com/preps. On the right side of the screen there, go to the pick'em. And you can visit the Pure Preps blog at insidesocal.com/South Bay Preps. We'll be tweeting all night, Friday night, scores from all the games, modern day Narbonne, West North, San Pedro, Westchester, South Peninsula, all the games, all the scores. We don't want to forget, we do have two Del Rey League games kicking off Friday night. Cantwell at Bishop Montgomery, Mary Star at Verbum Day at Southwest College, both 7 p.m. kickoffs. We are out of time.
Cantwell Bishop, it's been decided late each of the last 2 years. So
should be a good one. We are out of time on this week's podcast, but please, as we said, stay in touch with us in the paper, on the website, on Twitter. Thanks a lot for listening, and we will be back next week.